Next case on our calendar is 97-261, Middendorf versus Middendorf. Mr. Wallace.
Chief Justice Moore, I would like to reserve 2 minutes in rebuttal. May it please the court, Your Honors. Stanley Evans and I are here representing appellant Max Middendorf today. This case involves a question of under what circumstances an increase in the value of separate property should become marital property. Rather than get into the facts first, I'd like to frame the issue and talk a little bit about the statute. We're here to interpret statute 3105-171A3A3. Essentially, the statute says all income and appreciation on separate property due to labor, monetary, or in-kind contribution of either or both spouses can become marital property. Now, before we can get into the interpretation of that, a couple of comments on the legal landscape that preceded the adoption of the statute in 1991. We've got to set the stage first. The Married Woman's Property Act was enacted many, many years ago. That statute, 310304, clearly says neither husband nor wife shall have any interest in the property of the other. Flat statement. That's the lay of the land. What did the courts do, the district courts do, prior to the adoption of 3105-171 when it came to treating an increase in value of separate property as marital property? Two tests. Justice Douglas authored the Sanzenbacher test in 1981 that says you need joint efforts of both parties to take the increase in value of separate property and consider it to be marital. That's the Douglas test and Sanzenbacher in 1981. The Supreme Court in Worthington versus Worthington in 1986 said if you have a significant contribution of marital money or marital labor, again, both sides of the equation, a husband and wife, that can convert an increase in the value of separate property to marital.
Did that case, counsel, when you read that holding of that case, do you contend that it is an exclusive test?
Justice Cook, it is not an exclusive test. As I think you recognize in the Stover case later on, the opinion that you wrote, if you have evidence, kind of a fairness type of evidence that shows either a significant contribution of marital money or labor by both spouses, especially the non-owning spouse of the separate property, then we have an equity situation where it's fair to treat the increase in value of separate property as marital property. Now, after the Supreme Court decided Worthington, several of the districts went along, the 12th and the 10th, and the 6th again went along in the Green case. 3105-171 was enacted. And if you look at the statute itself, there's language in there that says labor of either or both spouses.
When was the statute enacted? When was the last
January 1, 1991, there was an amendment in December of 92 which affected retirement issues in the statute but did not affect A3 of the statute.
But there was wasn't there a comprehensive redo of all the domestic relations stuff in, what, 91? You said that's when?
Yes, sir. It was effective January 1, 91, with one amendment since.
Okay. And at that point, the legislature had those prior cases out there to consider.
Absolutely.
when they wrote the
yes.
statute.
Yes, and it's interesting, Justice Pfeiffer, because what happened after the adoption of the statute? The first seven courts of appeals that interpreted the statute didn't rely on the wording of the statute that said either or both. They went back to Justice Douglas and Sanzenbacher, or they went back to Worthington, and they said, no, we need evidence of joint efforts or marital contributions of both parties. In other words, they engrafted their own interpretation on the plain language of 3105-171. In fact, the 12th District, the 9th District, including Justice Cook's case, the 8th and the 4th District, all of those cases fell in line until the Katowski case in November of 95. The 11th Circuit is the only circuit to say, well, the statute says either or both. And so if we have no effort by the non-owning spouse, that's okay. A windfall can basically be created.
I'd like to get to your no effort argument. I mean,
yes.
When I looked at the Court of Appeals record and what they held, first of all, the Court of Appeals did not seem to buy your argument that nothing your client did added to the value of this business. Are you still holding to that argument?
Sure, because if we look at the transcript breaks down into two parts. Trial number one, 5 days of trial, five expert witnesses, there wasn't one piece of evidence indicating that his stock in the business increased in value at all, and there was no evidence as to contribution.
Now, isn't that just a factual issue, though, that we would have to substitute our judgment for the trial court or the Court of Appeals?
No, Justice Stratton, I don't think so, because we have never questioned that there were major efforts by Max Middendorf, who owned half the stock prior to the marriage, He continued to work as a livestock buyer. It was his company, no question about it.
Okay,
the real issue is, was there any evidence at all of efforts by his wife, Pat, in the
let
business?
Me get to that issue, because
okay.
You make the comment that you basically denigrate the fact that she stayed home, she took care of him, she took care of his children, she helped in entertaining, she helped in laundry cleaning. You put no value in that in terms of freeing him up to do his business. Is that the position you want to take?
I want to take that position for the following reasons. Every other Court of Appeals case, except for Katowski in the 11th District and the 3rd District in Middendorf, found that there had to be some efforts of the non-owning spouse. For example, in the Shapiro
case. But
that's
not what the statute says.
I understand
the
that.
The statute clearly says either or. You agree
no question,
with that?
No question about it.
All right, then let me get back to, you are taking the position then that nothing that a wife does that adds to the marriage has anything to do with helping her husband work.
The quid pro quo, Justice Stratton, is he went to work, he got paid $136,000 for a salary. That was a quid pro quo for his work at the business.
And the fact that he didn't have to come home and cook supper and run kids to doctor appointments and soccer practices and iron his own shirts, that has no value.
Well, in order to answer the question, let's turn the coin just a little bit and say we now have a situation where parties are coming to a marriage. Wife has a business that she inherited from her mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
During the marriage, it's a card and gift shop. She works 60 hours a week. The business goes up 100% in value. The husband does nothing in the business, and also he's unemployed. Is it fair on their divorce for him to get one half of that increase in value when he did nothing to contribute?
Was he taking care of her children and house, etc.?
Well, sure.
And why not?
Don't know.
Why not?
Why not?
Well, you know, I don't know. All I'm saying is that every other
court
don't
know,
but
that, but that's
we
really
don't
our that's really our issue. Yeah. The problem is that just shouldn't coverture be enough to let the spouse be entitled to some of the appreciation?
I don't look at it as a gender issue, Justice Douglas, because
I didn't.
As
I said coverture.
Sansenbacher, it had to be joint efforts is an issue, and it should be, in order to create the marital equity, there should be some joint effort by both parties.
I think you stretched that case to some extent. The joint efforts.
Okay.
The joint efforts is that they're married.
Well, but you see,
why shouldn't let's go forget the law, forget the cases, forget why shouldn't she in this case be entitled to something of the appreciation?
Based on a five
she's
and a half.
She's been with
year.
Him all this time.
Sure.
She's done all these other things, but forget all that. She's married to him. It's a partnership.
I understand, sir. On a 5.5 year marriage, when she did not work outside the home, she ended up with couple of $100,000.
I don't care how much she ended up with. We're talking about this piece of property.
This piece of
property. We're talking about this asset. Is she entitled to appreciation in this asset? And if she's married to him and she is for this period of time, I guess my ultimate question would be,
sure,
then I'll let you go home.
Well, that's okay.
My ultimate question is going to be, when does non-marital property ever become marital property?
Going into the marriage, the non-marital asset itself always remains separate property as defined by the statute. The statute only deals with the increase in that value of that.
And when would that become marital property? Why shouldn't it be on the date of marriage? Or at least
the entire
a year,
asset?
Or at least a year later.
Well, you know, if that happens, Justice Douglas,
you know, maybe
we
ought to turn, she put up with him for 5.5 years, maybe.
I understand.
But
haven't we just created
a
community property state if we do that?
Yeah, I would like to hear from you. What would be required of her for her to participate in the appreciation of this business? Would she have to actually go in and work in this company? Is that all that you see that, you know, she would do? None of these other things are significant?
A number of the appeals cases have talked about an expenditure of marital money, which is half hers. If she does no effort but there's an expenditure of marital money in the business, then no problem. We wouldn't be here today, okay? Now, and there was no expenditure of marital money here. Then, therefore, if you look at either Worthington or Sansenbacher or any of the other cases, and there are something like 10 of them, with the Katowski case being the only exception, there needs to be some effort by the non-owning spouse. And the reason is this. The one factor we haven't discussed is, how do you square the interpretation of that statute with 310304 that says, by virtue of the marriage alone, You never get an interest in the property of the other spouse. There is no way to square the conflict between those two, and the law is clear that when they passed 3105-171, they had to have it passed in conformity with that. So we have to, somehow they have to fit in conformity so that they make a mosaic that the courts of appeals can follow.
Okay, how's this statute going to apply under the rule, the syllabus that you want in this case, to a situation in which, say, your client came to the marriage owning stock in Yahoo or one of those other internet companies? There's one on the news this morning that's sure. gone up eightfold in 8 days or something like sure. that. Through no particular efforts other than good stock picking back when or what have you, nobody put any effort after the marriage into appreciation. Maybe even the wife said, I think that company's going to take off. You ought to continue to hold it.
Sure. Justice Byford,
what happens
in that
there?
Case, yes, in that case, it's clearly controlled by 3105-171. I think it's A6 that says if it's an increase in value due to passive appreciation and no efforts of either party, that's different
part of the
yeah, right,
the
and
code.
That's covered in the statute. Plus, there's Palmer versus Palmer that says if it's merely due to inflation or factors beyond the party's control, don't divide the increase in equity.
Well, what
that's pretty much unsettled.
Let's take another scenario. Let's take this guy single. He's trying to raise these kids. He's going nuts trying to do all the things that a spouse normally does for him. He gets married. She has a business. He says, I want you to stay home. I want you to give up your home decorating business. I want you to do all these things so I can work in the company and make it grow. And she does. She gives up her business, as she did here. She stays home, and she does all those things he did when he was single. That is not contribution, in your opinion.
Sure. I don't think that is, because that isn't an effort toward the increase in value of the separate property, and that was a disputed fact in the transcript.
Don't you think that
she
may
testified
be why
yay,
the legislature,
he testified nay.
Don't you think that's why the legislator put in either or both? Doesn't that make sense for the legislator to say that because of that very social policy reason?
Justice Stratton, first of all, there's nothing in the legislative history, because we checked to determine why they wanted to go down the direction, which was different than even if they had the intent to do that. But again, we get back to the threshold question of how do you square this all with 3103.04, which says marriage doesn't give you that interest in property. There has to be something more. Those two statutes have got to be interpreted, and they've got to be melded together somehow so that they don't conflict. And on the face of it, based upon the argument that marriage alone gets it, puts those statutes in conflict. And I don't see how
we're resolved. We seem to be focusing on the efforts of the wife here, but the Court of Appeals, as you know, found that the husband's, that Mr. Mittendorf's contribution, his increase apparently in the stockyards, appreciated $108,541, which was the magistrate. That would be enough if that's a correct finding, would it not? That's either or, and that's him making a contribution to the, which under the statute, I read the statute, that would mean that she would, that would be marital, definition of marital properties. We need to look at that, I think, pretty carefully in our questions, because it's pretty restrictive, it seems to me. The General Assembly has said what the policy of law is going to be on this issue, and they don't really seem to mention the kind of things that the wife here was engaged in. And that's, I guess, for us to interpret, but unless it's in-kind contributions, but I don't think her contributions here would be in kind. So I guess why wouldn't his, I know you've argued in your brief that that's not an accurate estimate of or finding as to what his work in the company was worth in the appreciation. Why not? I don't find any reason given for why the trial court and the Court of Appeals are wrong on that.
Chief Justice Marder, we did not appeal the issue of the $108,000 figure. What's important to note is, and it gets to the second proposition of law that I'll comment in just a minute, what's important to note is that at the first trial, the court found that there was no evidence on increase in value at all.
Right.
And back for the second trial, the court appointed its own expert, and there is some question about whether or not it should have been reversed, in my opinion, but another question for another day, I suppose. But then you get to the question of $108,000. We did not appeal that number or question that number. But if we're going to look at the statute, let's don't forget to look at the phrase, due to. A number of courts have said it's not enough to have an increase in the value of separate property. You must have evidence that it was caused by the effort.
And I'm with the Chief Justice in this question that the caused, is it, it seems that you argue that it's not enough that this gentleman was at the helm of this company and a full-time employee.
Well, he wasn't at the helm, first of all. This company had five stockyards.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. Half owner, five stockyards, many employees, $30 million in sales. There was never the first piece of evidence that said that anything that he did caused that increase in value. And even the appellee doesn't point to that. There's nothing in the record that supports that.
He continued to work full-time, right, for the stockyards?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
And what was I thought his position was at least a high-level executive position.
No question.
He
was a livestock buyer.
50% owner.
And he was a 50% owner. Correct.
This
will
come as a big shock to people who get stock options and things, who run companies and get stock options based on the performance of the company, that the appreciation that will come as a shock that this didn't, they didn't cause anything.
Well, but Justice Cook, look at the decision from your district in Shapiro. In the Shapiro case, the wife worked for the husband's business for 5 years, full-time for 5 years. That went up on the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals sent it back down and said, there is no evidence that her 5 years of labor there caused the increase. You've got to focus on due to. There's got to be due to evidence.
In that
and
case, it wasn't the managing.
The
it wasn't the senior manager of a business. In effect, this is an owner, partner owner.
Well,
I think
that's
a tough one.
It is. And the Court of Appeals, Third District, said on this issue, quote, it is unrealistic for appellant to claim that his management and business skills had no additional effect. So they looked at the record, apparently found no evidence as to causation, but says, well, he really can't claim that his management skills didn't have any effect on that. But you see, that's arguing in a vacuum. Nobody can point to any cause where an expert, and there were five of them, not one person said that increase in value was due to anything that Max Bindorf had.
So the legal issue for us here, I guess, is to define what is meant by due to. Is it sufficient to show that an executive who works full-time gets an appreciation in his stock or whatever it is, is that sufficient to assume from that that his efforts, his or her efforts, at least to some extent, caused the increase? Or does there have to be expert testimony, I guess, or someone to testify that he did X, did these things, and therefore his interest in the company was appreciated by a certain number?
Sure. And that's really kind of a trial court call. I think the due to is causation language. We can go back to the body of negligence law and determine what causation means. But I think it's more important to have some evidence on which that type of finding can be made, and not just an assumption that the Court of Appeals made that, well, you really can't argue that in the vacuum. There's no evidence.
Your light's on, but what is your position as to why the appreciation in value?
Well,
caused it?
Well, one witness said one thing on causation, and that is Dale Schwederman, the company accountant. In fact, it's at paragraph 68 of the magistrate's decision, and his comment on that question was as follows. During the marriage, quote, although there were no changes in the nature of the company's operations, changes occurred as a result of outside forces over which the management had no control. So the closest.
So this was passive appreciation then?
Well, there was no increase in value. Throughout 5 days of testimony, there wasn't one person who said that company increased its value at all. And I can tell you why the case came down for the retrial and the appointment of the new expert, but that's a complicated issue. But the company CPA in an expert capacity said hog prices, market prices, outside forces, those are the forces that controlled whether or not value of the company went up, and not management. That was essentially his testimony, and I quoted it from the transcript. Beyond that, no opinion as to why it went up, because after 5 days of trial, there was no increase.
So how is that different from passive stock ownership then?
Well, I'm not sure I understand, Joseph.
I mean, the question I asked earlier, and you just own a stock and it takes off.
If you own the stock and it takes off, then I think you look at 3105-171A6, because if it's in the Palmer versus Palmer thing, if it's not due to influence of either party, then increase in value of separate property is clearly separate by the statute. You have to have some impact by, and we think, both parties. We have to look at either Worthington or Sanzenbacher, or you can't make sense of 3103-04 and 3105-171.
No, but the statute, the 171 says either or both. So that would mean that if it was proven here that Mr. Mittendorf actually did cause an increase in his value in the company, wouldn't you agree that that's enough? That makes it marital property under the definition, doesn't it? Either or both? Either one or both?
If his effort alone is enough, don't we become a community property state with respect to that increase?
The General Assembly has used those words, and I think we have to apply them. I mean, that's they've said this is a policy of the law. If either one of the spouses does this, then it's marital property. I mean, that's their definition. So
if you apply that, and then we're direct in violation of 310304. I don't know how we get around that.
Except that 310304 is a general statute, it seems to me. 3105.171 is very specific as to what his definition is. You know, this isn't marital property, what marital property means. And I would think that's more specific than 04. But
it was passed later, but after all the case law that said that you need more than just purely increase in value of separate property. It's a quandary.
Thank you, Mr. Wallace.
Thank you.
Mr. Kirkland.
Chief Justice Moyer, Justices of the Supreme Court, I'm James R. Kirkland from Dayton. I represented Patricia Mittendorf in this case. Certainly, this is here from the, we being the appellee, certainly feel that the decision of the Court of Appeals in this matter is proper. It should be sustained. And on the issue presented, the Court of Appeals said clearly both parties contributed through labor or in-kind services to the increased appreciated value of the stockyard.
Are the services of the wife here by the things she did in the home, take out the telephone calls she took. She took some telephone calls apparently and entertained for a party for the employees.
Mm-hmm.
Are the homekeeping sort of responsibilities that she assumed, are those in-kind contributions, do you think, under the statute?
I believe they are, and I think you can't take that out of the home. We're not talking about, as Justice Pfeiffer mentioned, somebody owes Yahoo stock and it's going up over here with both of them going about their daily duties. This was a daily duty that was going. He was doing work, she was supporting that, she was doing things in the home, she participated, remodeling of the office. As you recall in the record, she participated by the aspects of the telephone calls she took, situations
and that
she relayed.
That would support the share of the marital, in the marital property. Does it also support a share in the appreciation of non-marital property, separate property?
I think if it's wholly separate, I think that's a separate issue. And I think that's why we have the passive income and the definition in the statute of what is non-marital property. And that's why I use the example. If they married and he had stock over here, and the stock sat there and it's just acting on its own, but I have a lot of problem how you differentiate a person's work. A person's work is their persona. That's part of them. That's what they're doing. That's their daily activity. We talk about routines.
Well,
that's not something separate. So as a married couple, they're doing that.
Well, we set both all these things are defined for us by the General Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
We know that passive appreciation is defined in the negative.
Mm-hmm.
It says it is not appreciation that is not the result of labor, work. Doesn't it say work? Not the result of
labor
monetary, or in-kind contributions.
Right.
So we know what it is not.
Right.
And labor is a word.
Right.
I mean, a good word. We know, is that the distinction here? Is that what we should look to, particularly with regard to the appreciation, looking at the husband causing or not causing the appreciation?
I think you have to look at the word labor.
Work
you have
and
to
not work, is that?
Work and not work, in-kind contribution. What's in-kind? In-kind can mean different things to.
Well, often perfect. In-kind is labor.
That's right. That's right. So I
or
think
it could be assets. It could be, you know, giving stock or pledging stock for a loan. It could be a number of things.
And where does participation, does the labor, and I think it's the question, does the labor have to be direct on the subject matter, or does the labor, is it labor that supports or enhances or allows the subject matter to take place?
See, now that gets pretty tenuous, doesn't it, counsel?
Well, I don't think it does in terms of a married couple, in terms of they're dealing. I think that's why the statute, if you look at the statute, I think there's clear distinctions, and I think it says either or both, and you, that's why it's hard. I think it's a case-by-case determination. It's the weight of the evidence. When you're dealing with the marital home, as you stated in your question, and when you're dealing with the work, that is something that emanates from that home. It's something that people do and participate. The statute specifically says retirement is covered. Those three things are all a part of what people do in their interaction, in their carrying on their life, in their having joint effort, being on the same wavelength, being supportive.
I still say that makes entirely good sense with regard to what we consider marital property.
Right.
But the General Assembly does make a distinction. It does, as counsel points out, there is a statute that says each person is entitled to their separate property. Mm-hmm. Then the General Assembly goes on and defines separate and marital, and then they tell us what should happen with appreciation of separate property that appreciates. When does it become the other spouse share in that?
Mm-hmm.
So the work that we're talking about, shouldn't we focus on the work that involves that separate property and the appreciation for that?
If I think so, but and I think the legislature.
So does housework and raising children, should that be accorded to the separate property, the appreciation of separate property?
Basically
it's marital activity for marital property, or does it go all the way to the separate appreciation of separate?
Well, I think it depends on the evidence and what the function was. I think it could be both, but in this case, we're talking about the work that somebody did, and we're talking about being supportive in that work. And I think the key is, if the legislature didn't mean for the type of contribution we're referring to, the kind of intimate contribution we're referring to here, they wouldn't have put the word either. The word was both have to do it, then I think we have a standard where we both went to the stockyards. You know, it was interesting when she was on the stand, and what was part of your contribution? And she said, you know the smell of hogs or pigs from a stockyard? And my husband would come home in that, and I'd get that out of those clothes, and I'd get that out of son's clothes.
Again, I say that goes to marital.
Right, but also that's work, that's support. It could have been sent out. And that's contribution. And contribution is also not only work and labor. Contribution is mental. It's being on the same focus emotionally, properly, working towards those same goals. That's also contribution. The statute says those type of contributions are not to be eliminated.
This is especially maybe a bit of an easier case where the separate property that appreciates is also the husband's primary work.
Yeah, and I think it makes a big difference.
It's his primary job. The
sure.
job that he, with which he supports his family.
And that's what I think is the difference from the Yahoo stock is we're using here.
Well, that's different only because it's right. So exceedingly passive.
Right. Right. Very, very
should
true.
The Court of Appeals, as you know, said it's unrealistic for appellant to claim that his management business skills had no additional effect on the increased value of stockyards during the course of his marriage. Is that a good enough legal test, do you think, for us to apply to the words due to? Should there be something? I mean, there could be an increase in his stock or the value of the company because hog prices increased, and he had nothing to do with increasing in the price of hogs.
And I heard that question asked to counsel, and I heard counsel's reply, and one of the things was, well, he did absolutely nothing. Why would he work that hard? And one of the things you do in business, law business, any other business, one of the things is staying alive in that business, being functionary in the business. You have to manage, function, keep your profit motives, keep your costs, just if the whole market's going up, so you're a part of it.
So
that's
legal,
work and labor.
I'm looking for a legal test here, one that we can give direction for other cases.
Sure.
This is going to rise again, I'm sure.
So
due to is the definition or the test that we apply for the due to language is if the person was active in the business and the business value or his value somehow appreciated, that's enough. We don't have to link up his activities any way at all to show that he could have been an executive, it could have been a lousy one. He could have been totally ineffective.
Absolutely. They could own a patent that
but
is the only widget made.
But then we declare this marital property because he went to work every day and sat around and had a nice title, but he didn't really do anything. Still, that becomes marital property because the value of the company increased due to his labor?
Well, but I think when you use the word still, the words due to certainly aren't defined, and it says no degree of participation. I don't think they're made there to say we have the great success story or the human business mongol that we're going to look at. Due to, and I disagree with the characterization of the record, the characterization of the record was his full participation in this business, his full management and operation with his brother, his full activity. And the magistrate even found, he stated while married to my client, that worked long hours in that business.
There's nothing in the record, I think you're saying, that would suggest that he was anything other than effective and that he performed his his duties and so forth as a partner or whatever.
Absolutely.
Counsel, I'm looking at page 14 of the magistrate's report. The bottom.
Okay.
Said, where he refers to the $108,000 increase. This increase should be considered marital property because the increase is the direct result of the labor or in-kind contribution of one of the spouses that occurred during the marriage, that spouse being Max Middendorf. Is that all we're going to find in terms of a determination of what caused this increase in valuation?
There may be more there. I don't have the magistrate's report totally memorized. There may be more there. I felt from the record, and there was very sufficient record, both as to her contributions in assisting the company and her contributions within the home and to him. And as I quoted from the Court of Appeals finding on that, which was on page 13 of their finding, they found both parties contributed. So when we get to the question of either or both, the differentiating is cases.
Let's assume that we don't even get into her contribution and just look at the statute says either or.
Right.
Has there been a claim that this was an abuse of discretion on the part of the trial court in finding that it is a direct result of the labor?
Well, I don't know if that is specifically how appellant worded one of their branches.
That's essentially what we have to find.
Yes, I think essentially we got to find to make any change for what she was awarded of this $108,000 is that the Court of Appeals was arbitrary, capricious, or did not have a basis to make the finding they found, which was that it was of both efforts. And I think as part of this, we're both defining it, then is there such an abuse of decision from what the record maintains to say that to find she got this 50% was
improper. We either have to find that abuse of discretion or have to conclude that the statute in its plain reading requires that she make a contribution.
I agree with that. I think you would have to find those two to exclude her.
Well, we could do either or.
Yeah, right. But those findings are the basis that would exclude her from the award that she was given here in the court.
If this business appreciated because the price of hogs went up, somebody had to be there to sell the hogs.
That was my point about participation. It just doesn't, it's staying alive in business.
You took his deposition, I take it?
Yes, we did.
Did he buy and sell assets of the business?
Yes. I think we've covered it. The points I wanted to stress, I think your questions have covered it. If there's anything else, I'm happy to answer it. If not, my position is that the award should not be bothered for the reasons that we've discussed, and I appreciate the opportunity to appear before you.
Thank you, Mr. Kirkland.
Thank you.
Mr. Wallace, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds.
Counsel,
thank you, Chief Justice.
Is the principal thrust that the trial court abused its discretion in determining his labor caused this increase, or is it that the statute requires per contribution in terms of labor or in kind?
The principal thrust is that to interpret the statute in light of 310304, there needs to be a contribution of some sort by her or an expenditure of marital money. It does link in with the second assignment of error that there was no due to evidence in the transcript as well. But hopefully that answers it. And I just have two other very quick points. let's give some deference to the magistrate's decision. When he found that there was an increase in marital property in the second decision, he cited only the fact that the appellant was a livestock buyer, never mentioned any effort by Mrs. Middendorf whatsoever in support of his decision to give her $54,000. So the discussion about the home activities, as important as they are, weren't important to the magistrate. He based solely on the evidence before him concerning Mr. Middendorf as a livestock buyer. And one other point, Chief Justice Moyer, due to evidence means, in my mind, that the court has to determine that there has to be causation evidence. Due to, I think, means that there needs to be a nexus or a cause, a connection between the increase in value and the efforts of that spouse. Thanks very much.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.